The Ramchal's inner circle of select members of the group, which was known as the secret circle, as a matter of fact, which later on, of course, became quite well known and it became like exposed. Among the missions of the Ramchal and the Chavraya Kedisha was not only in order to pursue a higher level and degree of Madregis and Avodas Hashem, but also as a mission it was through their Avodah to try to bring Mashiach, to try to bring the Geula. As a matter of fact, one can see in the private writings of the Ramchal that he actually strove to emulate a model that's mentioned in the Zohar HaKodesh regarding Reb Shimon ben Yochai, of what one can do in order to bring the Geula. He also saw the various model which was prescribed by the Arizal, who also had a particular Seder, a particular process of what one can do in order at least to usher in quicker the era of Mashiach. And Ramchal writes, and he believes, that there was a process that Shimon ben Yochai started, the model mentioned in the Zohar, the Arizal continued. He felt that the fact that Mashiach had not yet come because there was still a need to continue further, and he believed that there was a continuous series as the era has to be developed, in which his own circle, therefore, he felt was very important, and possibly this would be the ultimate link, that his circle of the Talmidim and his Avodah would in fact bring in Mashiach. As a matter of fact, Ramchal believed that each preceding illumination and light that was brought by the previous was basically the reason why they were aborted and were not successful in bringing in Mashiach. He felt was because the degree of their illumination was not sufficient. He believed, very interesting, that his illumination would be superior. It would be of greater intensity than both, he says, predecessors. Imagine, Reb Shimon Yochai, the Arizal, and therefore he would usher in the ultimate redemption. And I want to quote you from his writings. It's not in the Stam Svarim that you'll find. And he writes as follows. He writes that there are many ways, he says, to complete the redemption, because there are many levels on which they can be redeemed, as Arizal has taught. The process of redemption, he says, depends on the level of illumination. Since the time of the Arizal, there have been many great men, but all were on the same level of illumination as that which preceded. And so, matters just stood, because all the subsequent attempts were still on the same level, from one generation to the other. Now, he says, this is what Ramchal writes, now, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem desires to do good to His people, He wishes to reveal a new illumination comparable to the Zohar, a similar illumination, and in His kindness, He has chosen me as His vessel. This is what Ramchal writes. It's amazing. So it turns out that later, in response to this charge, he was charged, of course, by all those who opposed him, that first of all, they said that his spiritual career, what he attempts, it's not with enough aesthetic preparation and so on. They accused him that he certainly is not the kind of a person, according to what they believe, nor to bring in Mashiach, then more should be done. And he felt that he is not, so to speak, preparing enough. So he writes and replies that these preparations, he says, varied widely depending on the individual and the level of illumination given through him. And he writes as follows, quote, the preparation necessary for Reb Shimon Bar Yochai cannot be compared to that of Ari. Horaya, the former, meaning Reb Shimon Yochai, needed a cave, and there was a flight in his old age, as we know. The latter, the Arizal, he says, asceticism and being chosen in his youth. How many others, he says, have practiced his asceticism and piety many more years than Ari and did not become like him, nor did they even approach his madrega. Hashem chooses a medium as he sees fit, in accordance with the needs of the generation and the places. This is what he writes. So Meli says, this probably is the time This is the generation, and this, in fact, this is the door. So I just want to mention one more nekuda because we have to go on. And he mentions that the figure of Reb Shimon Yochai is mentioned in the Zohar, is developed as a parallel to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Reb Shimon Yochai is referred as the Nitzitz HaKodesh, is referred in the Zohar as the holy spark, meaning is the spark of the Nishom of Moshe. So both are redeemers, Moshe and Reb Shimon Yochai. Both are givers of Torah. One gave Torah Sanigla, one gave Torah Sanister. According to the Zohar, the Nishom of Moshe is reborn in each generation. The Gemara says, Pashtusa de Moshe, right? Is b'chol Dora v'dora. In each generation, there is the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, and it'll play a crucial role, he says, in the era of Mashiach. The manner, he says, in which the heavenly personalities, such as Moshe and other Marishan, addresses Ramchal, he says he was addressed Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu addresses him as Rebbe. He writes, or the Marishan addresses him as Rebbe. And he says it's identical to the manner in which Reb Shimon ben Yochai is addressed in the Tikkun HaZoyer. When he is addressed, they also address him as Rebbe. In this generation, Ramchal believed, that his role in his generation was that of the biblical Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave the Torah, he says. And therefore, he shows as follows. The biographies of Moshe Rabbeinu and Reb Shimon ben Yochai both have a parallel. What are the parallel of both? In the biography of both, there's a parallel that includes periods of living without their mates. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, without his wife, Shimon ben Yochai. Why? So they could be magdish, they could consecrate their entire beings to the love and devotion of the Shechina. In other words, they are married to the Shechina. Ramchal also, as you know, refused to take a wife past the age which was deemed proper for him. And was only after that he attained a higher level of restoration of the Shechina. So he enacted his consummation of the union with the divine with an earthly ceremony. But when he married physically, this was symbolic of consummating a marriage with the Shechina. And when Ramchal marries, who does he marry? What's the name of his wife? Sapphira. His wife's name is Sapphira, who is the daughter of Rab David Finzi of Mantua. The date, by the way, that he got married was on August 29, 1731. So the parallel to his wife, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and his wife, who was also named Sapphira, was duly noted by the participants at the Chasen. They noticed that. More importantly, that Ramchal perceived his marriage on earth as being a parallel to a mystical union, he says, between himself and the celestial bride, which would be the Shechina. So one more nekuda. So in the Zohar, we find only Moshe Rabbeinu and Reb Shimon ben Yochai. They were the only ones privileged to consummate the union with the Shechina as a literal mystical act, not just as a symbolic manner. And Ramchal, in one of his works, is called Tikkunim Chadoshim. It's another work of Ramchal. In the Chadoshim, which was written in 1729, while he was still a bocher, still a bachelor at the time, Ramchal receives a message, you know from whom? So he writes in Tikkunim Chadoshim, from Odom Arishin. He receives a message from Odom, who appeared to him. And the message underscored basically the differences between Ramchal's permanent mystical unity with the Shechina to all the different unions that were tamed by other mystics. And Ramchal writes as follows. He says, the progenitor, he says, of all forefathers, in other words, Odom Arishin, and he was the first. He says, arose and said, fortunate are you. Why? Because other human beings, he says, because as far as other human beings must sever themselves, he says, from their place during their journey on earth, but you, even though you have descended into the world, you do not separate yourself from the Shechina, Odom Rishon says, at all. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Rai Mehemna, who is the faithful shepherd. He writes another pamphlet, and this is called Soid HaKsuba, which is the secret of the marriage contract. Ramchal writes Soid HaKsuba, and he emphasizes that the restoration or the tikkun, which was affected by his marriage, was the avoida of the tikkunim required to redeem the Shechina and to subdue, he says, all of the evil forces. So writes Ramchal, and Ramchal believes that with his marriage ceremony, he says, the parallel had been fully realized, and his neshama actually becomes that of Moshe Rabbeinu. The nitzus of Moshe Rabbeinu is right in him, and the form in which Ramchal writes his most important revelations, shows very clearly how Ramchal basically yearned to complete the mission of bringing Mashiach. And even before, by the way, the Maggid first appeared to him, Ramchal, this is not so well known, Ramchal composed a sefer of 150 psalms, Kapitlech, which models after Dovid HaMelech, Dovid Malki Mashiach. He himself, he composed 150, which is modeled exactly. And also, remember when he had the revelation of the Maggid, so at the behest of the Maggid, he also composed a new Zohar, which is called Zohar Tinyona, which is written Aramaic by himself. And the Tikkun HaZohar, which is structured basically as a series of 70 interpretations. The Tikkun HaZohar is 70 interpretations of the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Tikkun HaZohar, 70 interpretations. Ramchal also writes Tikkunim Chadoshim, and what does he do? A series of 70 interpretations on the last pasuk of the Torah, to show that he's completing it. Tikkun HaZohar started it, 70 interpretations in the beginning, and he, to signify that his work basically came to complete the redemptive task that the Zohar had begun. This basically, just in a nutshell, just a little bit of the life's mission of Ramchal. Next time we'll give you some more of his quotes. Just amazing and fascinating. It's unbelievable things about what he writes himself. It's not what others have written about him, but in his own writings. Okay, so we go here to Perek Dalet. We continue in the middle. And then continue in the middle. Ach lepchusa me'ele. That paragraph there, if you have marked it down. Basically, Ramchal, where we left off was, he was discussing that there are three levels of different madrigas of people in terms of how they become motivated to serve Hashem and what will be their motivation. He mentioned the people who are on the highest level, as he referred to them, the Shleimei Hadas. The people who are Shleimei Hadas are people who seek perfection. These are the people, this is the first in the highest level that we refer to. The first goes from higher to lower. So the first, referring to the Shleimei Hadas, the people who strive for perfection and will not settle for anything less. Because they understand that this is the total purpose and there's nothing else in this world that a person really has a purpose for being here. And there's nothing else, there's no competition. It would be like wasting one's time. And these are the people who understand that. These are called the Shleimei Hadas. And then he goes and says, as we continue now to the second level. Second level, people are already motivated by our ulterior motives. They have already other motives, but nevertheless, they are also on a high spiritual standing, but not as high as the first level of the Shleimei Hadas. As he goes on to explain, he says, Ach lepchusa me'ele. He says to those people who are on a lower madrege, which are of lesser, right, are lesser level, he says, those people, tiyeh ha'he'ora lefi ha'b'chanoson. These people be motivated according to their own perceptions. In other words, anybody who hears something is motivated according, right, as fine and refined and his spiritual nature that he is, he's going to hear it with his ear. His ear will be attuned to listen, and they'll be motivated either to a higher level or to a lower level. As he points out, v'hu, and that is, l'fi inyan ha'kovoid. This is the motivating factor of the next level of people. And that is, they are motivated because they strive for honor, asherheim misavim loy, because they are striving for honor that they hope to attain through serving Hashem, that will bring them honor in the next world. Kizeh poshut, because everybody understands, says Ramchal, it's a kol balidas. This is obvious to any person who is religiously committed, he says, in the true world, people understand, she'ein ha-madregos mischalkos bo'olam ha-amiti. That's the levels of spirituality in the next world will only depend upon how one earned it according to one's deeds on this world. That anybody can understand. That what will determine your standing in the future world, everybody understands this. Olam Haba and Olam Haba, Elo Lefi HaMaisim. What depends where you will be in Olam Haba. That will be determined only and solely in accordance with the person's Maisim, his deeds. V'shelo Yisroi Mamshom. And the next world, no one will be elevated. Elami Shehu Rav HaMaisim HaChaveroi. What will determine whether you're going to be higher or lower, one thing will only determine it. It has nothing to do with whom you know, what you know, it has to do with your deeds and your actions. If you have more maisim, you have more deeds, better deeds than your fellow, you'll be in a higher standing. You'll be in a higher level there. And a person who has few deeds to his credit, who he is shofel. Then of course, then he'll be on a low madrega. He'll be lower. Im kenefoy. So if that's the case, when if you have this understanding, then he says, Eich yuchal odem lahalem einoy memasov. How is it then possible that a person can ignore on this world his own conduct, being that you know that whatever is going to happen is going to occur to you in the future world, is clearly dependent on what you do on this world, so how can you ignore your obligations on this world? Again, Eich yuchal odem lahalem einoy memasov. How is it possible to a person to ignore his conduct or to limit your efforts, he says. When you understand that you will regret it in the future. Because that will be a time, then you will no longer be able to rectify that which you have, right? That which you have ruined. And this will be to his anguish, this will be to his detriment, to his tzar, it will be something that he'll never be able to make up again. And he goes on. And he says, Vine Yesh Mahapsoim, there are some foolish people, he says, who do not want to indulge and overly exert themselves in their service to Hashem in this world, because they say, maybe we can do sort of like a compromise. Look, there's a Gan Eden, right? Paradise. And then you have Gehenim, which is the opposite. So he says like this, you know what? I'll make sure to do the minimum that will guarantee at least I won't go to Gehenim. But I don't want to do all the extra work that I have to have Davke front seat in Gan Eden. Who says that? Maybe I can be satisfied. In a certain sense, I'll be comfortable in both worlds. I'll conduct myself in this world, not with any extra burden or any extra avoided. But I'll do just as much in this world in order to guarantee that I don't go to Gehenim. But who says that I have to exert myself, that I really have to dedicate myself fully, all the way, that I should also have a great spot in Gan Eden? So I'll be in a lower spot in Gan Eden. So I'll be in the back seat of the bus. I'm still going somewhere. I'll still be there. So he says, this is a foolish cheshbon, he says. This is a foolish calculation. And he points out, why? In a yesh ma'apsoyim. So there are, yet, he says, there are foolish people. Hamevachim rak lehokel me'aleim. Their only desire is to lighten the load. They don't want to work hard spiritually in this world. Sheyoimru. And therefore they'll say the following. Loma ne'yageya atzmeinu b'chol kach chasidus v'prishus. Why is it necessary to force ourselves? What? With all this extra piety and abstinence and so on and so forth, denying ourselves all the pleasures of this world. Haloidailonu. Is it not sufficient? Is it not enough? Shloiniyim harishoyim hanidoinim again. It should be enough that as long as we're not rishoyim, who says we have to be the biggest tzaddikim? Which with that, that demands an awful, awful lot. A lot of sacrifice. Maybe I don't need all that. Maybe it's enough to just to make sure that I won't be counted among the Rishoyim, who basically are judged or sentenced to Gehenna. Anachnu loy nitchoik atzmeinu likonis beganeidin lifnai lifnim. We don't have to push ourselves, right, to go to the front of Ganeidin or to the innermost part of Ganeidin. It's enough about being Ganeidin somewhere. That should be good enough. And thereby, I'll have a relatively easier life on this world, because I don't want to overburden myself. All that I have to do is to make sure I don't want to go to Gehenna. And then I'll have some Ganeidin. That should be quite enough. If you want to have a great share, a great portion in the future world, so we'll have a smaller portion. For us, that's enough, they'll say. And we don't want to increase all our avoda, all our effort, all our responsibilities in the area of Gan Eden. Daf could have a bigger portion in Gan Eden. His omnom, he says, Sheila achas nishlo behem. But in response, says Ramchal, I'm going to ask them a question. So I'm going to ask them a question. And I'm going to ask them a question from their perspective of how they themselves deal with their own lives in this world. And then we're going to mirror their own behavior and their own logic, based upon what their decisions are in this world, to see how this is going to then reflect in the next world. And I ask them back, and I say like this, you take it so easy as if to say, you'll be satisfied with a small portion in Gan Eden. First of all, you don't know what Gan Eden is. You don't know what you're losing. You don't know what you're missing. As he points out many, many times, you have an idea what Gan Eden is. It's just so easy to say, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with a small portion of Gan Eden as opposed to a large portion of Gan Eden. But he said, but look, even on this world, are you really so satisfied on this world? Hayuchlu kolkach, he says. Is it possible, he says, is it possible that in this world, Hayuchlu kol kach, he says, al nikla lizboil boil mazeh hacholif. Take this transient world. This world is a very, very temporary world. Let's take a look at this temporary world. Are you so ready? Being that this is a temporary world, we would assume that people should be able to tolerate, right, quite a bit, because you say to yourself, it's only temporary. Big deal. You know, if a person for 5 minutes, it's hot in the room, he's not going to go crazy. If he knows he has to spend hours in the room. So you say to yourself, listen, this is a transient world. It's not all that important. Anything that we do here is not going to last forever anyway. Do people think of that way? People don't look at it that way. This is a transient world when it comes to their own interests. They are not capable. They are not capable in this, right, in this passing world even. Lirois echod mechavreyem mechubedim menusa yoysa mehem emoshu aleyem. No one really is ready to endure to see one of their friends being honored and elevated above them and ruling over them. Nobody wants to tolerate that. They say, why not? Yeah, sure, just these 70 years. What does this say, right, in relation to eternity? This is just, this is a passing world. So what? So just a few, it's a little while, things are going to change. No one is ready to do that. What about even more? You're not ready to endure even one of your peers to rule over you. One of your peers, or to gain all that much more honor than you. How much more so if you have a servant, that for some reason the tables are going to be turned, someone who is subdued by you, someone who is under you, an underling, all of a sudden he becomes a ruler over you. There's no way, they said, that you're going to be able to endure that. Your blood is going to boil, is actually the expression that he uses. V'kolchken is certainly echod ma'avdeyim. He says, if one of your servants, oymin ha'niyim ha'nivzim u'shfolim b'neim, or one of the poor, with whom, upon whom you always looked with scorn, you looked upon him, you know, with contempt. All of a sudden, one of these poor people, right, somehow wins a lottery or something, all of a sudden he becomes a man of great standing, and you now become second, and he becomes first. He says, are you able to endure that? He says, v'lo yitztaru, and you're not going to have tzar, you're not going to have pain, v'lo yidomam reiseach bekirbam, and you're not going to have your blood boil within you, and you're not going to have your blood boil within you, he says, is that possible? He says, Loi. He says, certainly not. He says, it's not possible that you're going to endure that. Loi vadai. Certainly, keinenu harois, we see this all the time. We see all the time how much tsar and how much pain. You can't endure that easily. We see what is a person's life mission. Basically, what people try to do all the life is to try to do things that are going to bring them honor. People try to do things that are bringing them respect. People want to be independent. All toil, call amal ha'odam. He says all the energy and all of the effort we see with our own eyes that a person labors is lehinose al kol mi sheyuchal. He tries basically to establish himself, to elevate himself above anyone that he can. V'losim mikoyim ben ha'ramim yosef, and he wants to place his position right among the place among the most choshev people, among the most honored people, among the most eminent of people. Kihi kinas ish mereyu. This is the natural envy at work that we find. This is human nature. We see this. V'mira chaveru misroimim. And if one sees all of a sudden, he sees that one of his peers all of a sudden becomes elevated to some very high position. V'unisha shofel, and he remains low. Right? He remains low. He's humiliated. So vada, he says, shema sheyizboil huma sheyuchach l'sobloi. He tolerates whatever he has to tolerate because he can't stop it. Kela yuchalim noya. But the fact is, ulevavoy yis ashesh bekirboy. But the fact is that his heart, in other words, the wound festers there. Because he would have liked to be on top and rather have somebody else be on the bottom. So he says, ma'ato. If he says, in this lowly world, where all what we call and define as honor, this is just illusionary. Anything in this world that appears to have meaning is just a fiction. It's not real. It's just full of air. And yet, all of these material things seem to be so important in our lives. Make now the cheshem. If these things are important in your lives on this world, so when you're talking about eternal bliss, when you're talking about things that really have meaning, that which have value, true value, not fictitious value. So ma'atim kach kosh aleim liyishfolim uzulosom. Now, if he finds it intolerable to be humiliated, in levels that are only illusionary, in this world, just illusion, because it doesn't make a difference. Some higher and lower in reality. This is just what is called the milus hamadumois vahakoizvois. This is basically, these are false. These are false, these are unreal. Because Shein HaShiful is Bom Elo Lefnim. Because the truth is, it's nothing more, all of this that you're looking at, this is just, it's falsehood. And that is basically something which just appears to be that way. V'loy ha-hinosei el-ishav v'sheker. And basically it's nothing more than falsehood and it's vanity. So if you can't tolerate this, which is only illusionary, so eich yuchlu lizboil. So you think in the next world, when you're going to see your peers, in Gan Eden, now you're talking about, there we're talking about something which in our eyes, which we don't even have an asoga, how to describe what Gan Eden is all about. If we try to define it in human terms, and you talk about billions and billions and billions and billions, and you only have very, very little compared to what somebody has, which each step ahead in Gan Eden is a step in eternity. It's not just one step ahead. It's a step in eternity. So can you imagine, you're going to just be able to tolerate, your neshama is going to be able to tolerate, if you know yourself, you could have been there the same way. You could have had it as well. Eich yuchlu lizboil, do you think they'll be able to tolerate shiiru atzmum shefolim yoser, that they'll see themselves being humiliated and lower mo'isum anoshim atzmum, from those same people asheim ato shefolim men. Today in this world, you were above them, in the material world. They were lower than you. You were above them. Then all of a sudden, after 120 in the next world, you see the tables are turned. The people that you look down upon them, you thought they're nobody. But in Shemaim, there's a different cheshbon. There's a different way of evaluating people. And all of a sudden, you see that they're above you. The neshama is not going to be able that easily. There's going to be embarrassment. There's going to be tzar. But the tzar, the difference is, it's not just going to be a temporary tzar. It'll be a tzar which one is going to feel, he says, eternally, as he points out. He says, Bimkoim, this tzar is going to take place. Bimokoim, Hamayla, Huamitis, Vahayukor, Vahanitchi. This is going to take place in the realm of the true and in the eternal. Sha'afopi, that even though Sha'achshov Ein Makirim Oysoy Veserkoi. Today he says we don't recognize it. We have no asoga with Olam Haba is. And therefore we play around with it. We just throw around the words, Gan Eden, like this, next world, Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh. Today you have no asoga. We have no idea what it means. Therefore we are not concerned about it. Because to us, the next world is abstract, Olam Haba. It's something we talk about, but we can't really comprehend it. Alkein lo yechushu olov. Therefore, people don't seem to be concerned about it overly much. However, says Ramchal, I want to tell you, Avol Bismano, but when the time comes, Vadai sheyakiruhu la'amitoi, when the time comes, you'll certainly recognize it for what it is. Letzarom laboishosom. It'll be to your anguish and it'll be to your shame. So Vadai, when the next world comes around and you'll be there, shoyilohem zeh. It'll only be a source of tremendous tzar and it'll be eternal suffering. You notice what he says, tzar godol v'nitzchi. Talking about kamus and eches, quantity and quality. A, he says tzar godol, it'll be a big tzar, sort of like in quantity, big tzar, but also in duration of time. Sometimes a person has a lot of pain, but you know what, it goes away in a day. So, you're not being struck twice. It's a big pain, right? It's intense pain, but it goes away quickly. Sometimes the opposite. The pain is not that great, but it lasts a long time. Also not that great, but not, what's worse? Tremendous pain, and it lasts a long time. This is what's going to happen, he says. You're going to have the situation. This will be the shame and the embarrassment of seeing how far behind you are to what could have been attained, and what your fellow, your peers, though that you were over them in this world. Look at their position. Look at their station in the next world. It'll be a tzar godel, a big pain, a tremendous pain, and nitzchi, in addition to that also, it'll be everlasting. It'll be eternal. Harei lecho, so what I'm showing you, that the tolerance that people try to claim while they're on this world, it's okay, we don't need Gan Eden all that much, as long as we don't go into Gehenna, he says. We don't need Gan Eden all that much. So, she'ein asavlonis hazeh, this tolerance, ajrahim doishim liatzma, this tolerance that they insist, lohokel mehem, because they want to lighten, right, their workload to Hashem, he says this is the Yetzer Hara trying to entice them, the Yetzer Hara trying to persuade them, the Yetzer Hara trying to weaken the resolve. What this is really, it's a deceptive type of a temptation, all coming from the Yetzer Hara. There's no truth to that. And the truth is, he says, if they would only see the truth, there would not be any place for this persuasion. They would see the truth. But the emissaries, the problem is, they are not searching for the truth. But being that you don't pursue the truth, But rather people continue to go in accordance to their desires. So being that they are following in accordance with their desires, hina le yusra mehen pituyom. So therefore the temptation will not be removed, only when it comes time to leave, when they leave this world. Arazaman ashala yoylahem. But then nothing will help them anymore. It'll be too late. Kloyia oid biyodom. They will no longer have the opportunity lesakin esasha shechesu to be able to repair that which they have destroyed. So the time is now. And Rachel goes and says, the truth is Shlomo HaMelech already warned us. Realize time is moving on. You don't have all that time at all. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, and therefore Shlomo HaMelech says all of Asholem, he says in Kehelas, and he says as follows. Shlomo HaMelech says, whatever power, whatever you can do today, make sure you do it today. Don't leave it over for tomorrow, because today you might have the knowledge, today you have the know-how, today you have the wherewithal, in the grave you won't have it. It's all gone. It's all behind you. Quote, Shlomo HaMelech says, whatever you can do while you still have the strength. Because there is no deeds, there's no account, there's no knowledge. And he says later, he says, in the grave where you are going there. Over there, there's nothing there. Behind you, the depth of this statement is as follows, says Ramchal. What a man does not do today, while he still has the koyach given to him by his creator, and that is, he has the freedom of choice. You can choose. You have the opportunity to choose. Who are koyach habechiri hamosur loy. Interesting, hamosur loy. The bechiru was given to him by Hashem. Hashem gave you that power, which means you have the power to choose. It's not always an easy choice. Not always an easy choice. Hey, listen, not all business choices are easy either. You want it all. You know, you might do this deal, I want both deals. You know, you don't know what to do. I can take this vacation, that vacation. You know, it's not an easy choice. You want both. Can't be in two places at the same time, so it's a problem. So he says, so you have a koicha bechiri, koi mechaif, shubahem bechiri. Every day of your life is the day where you have a choice in front of you. Umetzuva lasois, and you're commanded to do the right thing. Hina lo yucha lasois, all of this you can only do now. But you will not be able to do it oid bekevru bishoil, but you'll no longer be able to do it then. He says, she'ein ha-koich hazeh oid biyodoy, because then the power is no longer in your hands. Ki mi shlo hir b'masim toivim b'chayov, because any person who fails to increase his masim toivim, his good deeds, while he's alive, ye'ev shloi lasoise machrekein. The next world is the time of judgment, receiving reward, or the other side. U'mi shloi chishiv chesh b'n masov. Any person who did not draw up a balance sheet while he's alive, le'yiloi z'man l'chashvayoyis, we'll explain this also, he won't have time to do it then. And if he has time, what's he going to gain? You can't change anything. Ramchal says, if you didn't draw up a balance sheet today, then you won't have time to make a balance sheet in the future. And the question that many Meforshim, Cheskel Sarn and others, say, they ask Akashi, says, and if you will have time to make a balance sheet, so make a balance sheet. And what's going to help you? You can't change anything that you have done in the previous world, this world, in the next world anyway. So we'll explain it. The point is, anyway, he's saying, anything possible is only the ability to do it now, while you're on this world. And any person who was not wise in this world, will not become wise in the cavers. In the grave you won't become wise. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech says, there are no deeds, there's no accounting, there's no knowledge in the caver, that you are going there. So basically we stop here in the Ramchal, because this explains, this is the level of the second people. The second level that he's talking about is people who are not on the highest level of Shleimei Hadas, but there are people at least who might be conscientious in the sense, because they want Olam Haba, because what's motivating them to try to do the right thing at least is not because of so interest in perfection, but because of the Kovod. The Kovod they expect to get Olam Haba. It's not the highest level, it's not the highest Madrega certainly, but nevertheless it is a Madrega. It is also Madrega because of Olam Haba that he expects to get, and that is the Kovod. Ramchal just gives us the rundown that a person has to be very, very careful not to be persuaded by those who try to dissuade him and say, you don't need all that much Olam Haba, it's enough a little bit of Olam Haba. Ramchal's got the point, you don't know what you're missing. If you don't know what you're missing, don't be so quick to give it away. Don't give away something that you don't really know what you have and the potential that you're able to achieve. It's interesting to point out, matter of fact, Ramchal says, it's interesting he says, again, in some of the words that he says, Ramchal said, today, while we're here in this world, we don't recognize what's in store in the next world. We don't know the value of the next world. Therefore, he says, therefore, we are not so concerned. It's interesting thing is, Ramchal just tells us, he says, Demis is, the Lashon is also, one of the main problems is a person does not understand that with what he does, what he can do in this world, what has so much meaning in the next world. A person looks at him and says, I did a mitzvah. I did another mitzvah. Now I have two mitzvahs. But he does not understand that the roshim of each and every pula that he does has tremendous, tremendous effect in the next world. And this is really the key. The Ramchal says, "Achshav ein makirim moisa." We have no idea our relationship in the olam hazeh to olam haba. If a man would only know the tremendous difference that each of his action makes in the next world, then he'd really understand, and his total avodas Hashem would take on a totally, totally different picture altogether. The problem is that man does not really recognize what it means, any mitzvah and every good deed that he does, and what really it means and how it translates in the future world. Ramchal tells us again, he talks about, of course, man has a bechira, a man has to understand that he has free choice, as a matter of fact. But he says, ultimately, he says at the end, he says, in the next world, he says, it'll be too late if you don't do it now. As we pointed out, the Kasha, he says, Mishloi chishiv chesh masov lo yilo izman lo choshvoi. Whoever doesn't draw up a balance sheet on this world won't have time to do it in the next world. And they all ask Kakashi, he says, and if you will have time to draw up a balance sheet, how is that going to help you? You can't change anything. So I want to show you the Lashon of Cheskel Sarna. Cheskel Sarna is a sefer called Iyunim on Ramchal. It's called Iyunim. And he says as follows. L'choy retzorachiyin. Ma'u ha-hefzit she-yapsi le-odom al yedei zeh shlo yuchel lachshev cheshboinu yachra amodis. What are you losing that you're not able to draw a balance sheet after you go to the next world? Ki l'choyre ein ha-cheshm. One would imagine the only purpose of a cheshbon ha-nefesh is to see where you're at, to be able to change things. What's the purpose of making a cheshbon ha-nefesh if you can't change anything anyway? L'choyre ein ha-cheshm el kidei she yuchel l'saken masov. Himsham ein ma'ase, and in the next world there's no ma'ase, there are no deeds. Ma yoyloy acheshm. What will it help him? Says Ramchal, ochen yesh lilmoid. But we learn is from here, she'ein hacheshm bo rak l'sakin ma'asov. Cheshm is not just to be able to rectify one's deeds. It's not merely as a hachon. It's not merely a means to be able to change things. It's not just that to draw up a balance sheet. He says, cheshm atzmoi, making a cheshm independently. Shehu ha-hakora, a person has an evaluation of his maisim, that itself is a maisa toiv, afim lo yovoi al yidei cheshboinoi ledei tikkun ha-maisim. Cheskel Sarna says as follows. If a person, for example, learns Musar every day, the hope of learning Musar is that it's going to make him aware of the things that he's doing wrong, and to be able to change his ways, assuming he was not successful in changing the ways. The learning of Musar in its own right already has merit. It's not just a means to an end. The fact that a person recognizes where he is between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, evaluating his ma'asim, that itself has tremendous meaning. And even if the outcome, the consequences, it did not bear the fruit that you might have thought it's going to bear, which is the ultimate would be to cause change, but he says, Limud ha-musar, which comes l'cheshben ha-maisim, is a maisa toiv gam kishu le'atzmoi, av b'mikrish lo yoveloi limudoi l'tikun masov. A person has to realize that to evaluate one's maisim, to know where he is between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that study, evaluating oneself, that itself already has independent meaning. What's interesting, I want to point this out, he spoke about those people who basically they serve Hashem, as he says, because of the covet that they might receive in Olam Haba, the honor of their standing. Lashon of Sefer Chassidim is, in Simen Pehei, on this world, he pointed out Ramchal, everybody likes a little bit of covet, everybody likes a little bit of honor. He's not so quick to give away his honor. He's not so quick to place, right, second fiddle to anybody, especially if he was on top. All of a sudden, he will not want to become the servant and allow the servant to become the ruler over him. Far be it. But Sefer Hasidim says something which is a frightening thing. Al yismach odom im echad dinoisoi habriyis. Sefer Hasidim says a person should not be so happy if people honor you. Why? Because he says, lefi hakovoid vahahanoa, because extra pleasure that you take on this world is deducted, he says, mizuchiyoisov boilam habo. In other words, there's a price you pay for anything. As we said, when you leave this world, 80 years old, 90 years old, live to 120, Rabbi Lapian said, this world is an expensive hotel, he said, there's a bill. You enjoyed yourself, yeah. So, well, what did you give me? For what purpose? What? What did you accomplish? All of these things on this world, there's going to be a price, there's going to be a bill. And Sefer Hasidim says, "L'fi hakovoid v'hanoa sheyesh l'menachem l'schir Yosef." So the Maisa goes like this. The well-known story that by the Knesia Gedoyla in Vienna, which was in the 30s, the Chofetz Chaim travels to Vienna, to the Knesia Gedoyla, this very, very well-attended conference, all the greatest Rabbonim, Yidden from all stripes, greatest Gedol Yisrael of the time, Chofetz Chaim, Reb Chaim Oizer. The Imre Emes instructed one of the Gedolim of the time, Reb Meir Don Plotsky, the Mechaber of the Sefer Klei Chemdo. She's a very, very choshev Sefer, five Chalokim ala Torah, a big, great Baal Mefupel, as he was, a well-known Goyen in Poland, a Polish Goyen, different style of learning, was a Polish Yedera Chalimud, totally different than the Litvish Yedera Chalimud, a well-respected Goyen, who accompanied the Chofetz Chaim on the train. As the train made its way on the way to Vienna, the train stopped at many stations. People knew the Chofetz Chaim was on the train. As a result, people came out in advance. They came out to the train stations in order to meet the Chofetz Chaim, to have an opportunity to see him. Take one glimpse. Chofetz Chaim refused to go to the window of the train to allow people to see him. And Reb Meir Don goes over to the Chofetz Chaim and he says, why don't you go over to the window? You have hundreds, possibly thousands of Yidden who are standing there, waiting, bated breath to have an opportunity, to have a glimpse of you. The Chofetz Chaim says, and he quoted the Sefer Hasidim, that a person who benefits from undeserved honor, that's what he said, on this world, it's deducted, he says, it's deducted from his account in the future world. So, witnessing hundreds of people coming here to extend kovet, to give me honor, it'll take away from my share in Olam Haba. Reb Meir Don said, Rebbe, it's kedai to lose a chelik of Olam Haba to give Hanoah for other Yidden. And second of all, Chofetz Chaim said, I don't need a second reason. That's enough for me. Because I'm not interested in the second reason, he says. One assumes the second reason would be, you don't enjoy the kovet anyway. So the kovet that's given you is not going to take anything away because you're not enjoying this honor. You're shunning honor. So it's not going to take away anything anyway. But the Chofetz Chaim says, I'm not interested in the second reason. Skedai, that's what it means to be able to be mahan other Yidden, to give benefit to other Yidden. That's such an important thing, to be able to give joy, to give simcha to another Yid. Skedai to lose a little bit of Olam Haba, he says, to be mahan other Yidden, to give a little bit of joy to other Yidden. Rabbi Yatz of Lubavitch once said, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov said that it's kedai, it's worth it for a person to be born and live a lifetime, 70, 80 years on this world, just to be able to do a toiva once, to do a toiva to another Yid, once in his lifetime. If you're able to do a toiva to another Yid once in 70 years, it's worth living the entire 70 years. To be able to do a toiva to another Yid once. That's something like the idea, what Reb Meir Don said to Chofetz Chaim. It's kedai to give up a little bit of your Olam Haba to be able to be mahan other Yidden. What we see from here, as we saw the Shleime Hadas, these are the people who seek perfection. And then we, of course, then have people on second levels, and then next week we'll go to the people on the third level, which is the lower of all three. Rav Desla Michta Melio, Rav Desla Michta Melio Chelik Dalet, on page 252, he says that the altar from Keln, he says, ask the following question. He said, what was the secret, he says, es madrei gosom. B'meh hoye yofa koichem mikoichoinim. What was their secret? Why were they able to attain so much greatness, so much greater and higher than we? What was their secret? What was the secret that they were able to receive so much kedusha and to attain such greatness? What was the secret of their power? What did they have? What did they possess that we don't have? And the Alter von Kelm says, the idea is when you live on this world, to be able to picture, to be able to picture in a positive way, to have a vivid imagination that there is another world following this world. To us, it's something on the back burner. And he points out and says, Heim yodu es ha-koyach ho-adir shebitziyurei ha-leiv. They understood the positive force of vivid imagery. The Yetzirah also knows that. The Yetzirah also knows that, and therefore the Yetzirah tries, he paints pictures of illusionary pleasures. Yetzirah paints, why? Because a person lives in that with what he sees. So the Yetzirah tries to paint you pictures that is going to draw you and attract you to what you see as being real. You don't see the next world. But the koich of the Yovis was to take the future world and turn it into reality in this world. In their minds, they were able, in their imagination, to perceive what the next world might look like and turn something which is merely an image, to turn it into an actual reality. They took the ammunition of the Yetzirah. He paints illusionary pictures to take also to paint pictures, but to paint pictures of the real world, of the true world, which is the next world. They would think of what Gan Eden might be like. When you talk about tzaddikim sitting in the presence of the Shekhinah, basking in the glory of the Shekhinah, and to try to make it as real as possible, to make it something tangible, to make it tangible imagery. If one is able to do that, to delve into that, and to study that, and to contemplate in that, to make the next world a real world, to make Gan Eden something that is here, not over there. If you can live with that idea, and to actually see it, then you will live a totally different life. This is what the Alter von Kelm said. This, in fact, this was the koyach that they saw. Siyur Mechaim. You see a teacher today also, right? You try to paint on the blackboard, you try to show things. You say a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Because you have to see something in reality. When you see something, it's real. It's real. Your perception is real. Whether it's real or not, but your perception is real. This is at least you believe that you're seeing this. This is what you see. If you're able to turn Olam Haba into a reality, and that is for one's working on one's attitude, working and thinking about Olam Haba, not leaving that something behind. But as you are living in this world, you're also thinking and working towards Olam Haba and imagining Olam Haba, making Olam Haba something real, not abstract, then of course, then we live a totally different life. And, as a matter of fact, in Or Yecheskel we find the Mashgiach Aponovich, as he pointed out, Chazal already showed us, you should try to make Olam Haba real. Chazal, for example, are telling us, Yofa shoachas shel koyres ruach boilam habo in Pirkei Avos mikol chay oilam hazeh. Chazal say that a little bit of pleasure, 5 minutes of pleasure, I'm going to reinterpret that soon, right? A few moments of pleasure in Gan Eden, in oilam habo, is worth more than the entire life of oilam hazeh. Have an idea what you're comparing. Why Chazal telling this to us? Because Chazal want to make oilam habo, which have a little idea of oilam habo, to make Olam Haba something real. We should be able to think about it. We should be able in somehow in our minds to conjure up an idea of what Olam Haba is. So Chazal trying to explain to us. Think of Olam Haba. Think of all the pleasures in this world. Think of all the pleasures. And say to yourself that the entire pleasure that you can have on this world does not amount to a few moments of Olam Haba. Yofe sho'achas. One moment. Shel koyras ruach bo'olam haba will be greater. Will be greater, says Mikol Chaya, Ho'olam Hazeh. Comes Rav Dessler. And who can say it better? Rav Dessler said in the name of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Broide. It's brought down in Michtav Eliyahu, Chelik Aleph. And look what he says. He says something which is incredible. He says, you know what Chazal is saying? When Chazal is saying, Yofesh Sho'achas Sho'kairis Ruach, Bo'olam Habo, one moment of pleasure in the future world is more than Kol Chaya Ho'olam Hazeh. I want you to imagine, he says, if you can take the entire Olam Hazeh, and be able, he says, to concentrate into one moment. Take a lifetime of 70 years take a lifetime of 70 years, 80 years, and try to concentrate it all into one moment. In other words, take all the hours of pleasure. Imagine all the hours of pleasure of 70 years, of a lifetime. Take all the hours, all the moments, and all the seconds, he says. And not only that, not only take all the hours of your pleasure, take all the hours and moments and years of pleasure of all your friends, he says. All your friends and all the people that you know throughout their entire lifetime. So in other words, multiply by 70 years or by 80 years, not only all the hours of your own pleasure, multiply the pleasure of all of your friends, he says, and concentrate all of that into that one moment. Concentrate all that into one moment and give it to one person to swallow that pill of pleasure. Can you imagine how much pleasure this person would experience? If you can take all the worldly pleasures of a lifetime to concentrate into one moment, and add to that all the worldly pleasures of your friends and your neighbors of their entire lifetime. So take all of their pleasures. Take all of that and concentrate it into one moment and give it to a person. I mean, he'd be dizzy. He'd be dizzy with pleasure. And then he says, how about it, he says, let's go a little further. Take all the pleasures of all the people on this earth, of all of their lifetime, concentrate it into 1 second. But don't stop there. Go back to the previous generation and do the same with all the people of the previous generation. Take all the pleasures of the millions and millions of people. Imagine if you could add up all that pleasure and put it into, of all their lifetime. So you have billions of people, right? Times 70, 80 years that each one lived. Take all of their pleasure, concentrate it, and all put it in that one moment. And then go back 100 years, do the same. 200 years, go back to the beginning of time. We have no idea. There's no way that we can even comprehend. If you add up all the worldly pleasures from the time of creation, from each and every person, through his entire lifetime, and put it into 1 second and give it to a person, says Rav Destor, Chazal are telling us, if you take all of the glee and all of the pleasures, he says, and take it all of the generation from the beginning of time, in other words, you'll take all of Olam Hazeh, Beli Yoytzeh Min HaKlal, without any exceptions, and give it to one person, give it all to one person, in 1 second, right? All of that, he says, will not amount, he says, to one moment of Koiras Ruach in Olam Habo. One moment of pleasure in Olam Habo. Go understand that. We have no idea how to explain that. How to understand that. That's what it means, Yofa, he says. It's better, it's greater, Sho'achas of Koiras Ruach, of pleasure in Olam Habo, Mikol Chaya Olam Hazeh. He interprets Chaya Olam Hazeh means from the time of creation. Kol Chaya Olam Hazeh, not after your lifetime, not just your friend's lifetime, the previous generation, and the previous generation, and the previous generation. Mikol Chaya Olam Hazeh. So take all the pleasures of each individual, billions of pleasures, each generation, and billions of people. Take the billions of pleasures from a total lifetime of billions of people, from the beginning of time, thousands of years. Take that all and give it to one person, concentrate in 1 second, right? And give it to him. It will not amount to Kairas Ruach of a moment of pleasure, he says, of Olam Habo. But then he says it doesn't stop there either. How can you top that? How can you top that? So he says as follows. He says, I want you to understand, he says, you know what Kairas Ruach means? He said like this. He says, there are people, he says, who have the privilege to be invited to a royal banquet. People who are invited to a royal banquet, they have a seat, a place card. You have a pass. You come in. You sit down. And you can indulge. You can indulge. And of course, there's nothing to stop you. Eat as much as you want. It's all there for you. There are people who are not privileged to be invited to the royal banquet. So what would they like to do? Especially imagine they're starving. And you know, they're walking by the building. And there's the royal banquet. They're longing, right? They're longing for some invitation or somehow to be able to have some shred of enjoyment of the banquet. But they're not invited. What do they do? They see an open window, says Rav Destor. See an open window, and some of the aroma of the food, comes out. So he says, at least let me have a whiff. Let me have a snuff. Let me have a little smell. Let me inhale some of that good stuff. Takes it all in, he says. You can't compare that smell, he says, of the royal banquet. That little bit of a sniff, right? You can't compare to the real thing. But it's also something. It's a poor, right? It's a poor. substitute for the real thing, but it's something. Not only is a moment of Olam Haba more than the entire pleasures of the entire world, Koiras Ruach means a shmek of Olam Haba. That means the whiff of Olam Haba. Smelling a little bit of the aroma of Olam Haba coming through the window, so to speak. The pleasures of Olam Haba are so strong and they're so intense that even the Koiras Ruach, that's the expression of Koiras Ruach, if you're privileged even to have a shmek, a snuff, a whiff of Olam Haba, it is so much greater and so much more powerful than Mikol Chai Olam Hazah, that if you're able to concentrate all your pleasures of an entire lifetime, you, your friends, your neighbors, the entire world, from the beginning of time, thousands of years, billions upon billions of people, billions of seconds and moments and years of pleasure, add it all together, it won't amount even to a shmek of Olam Haba, into a whiff of Olam Haba. That's what we see here. That is what a Yid can hope to attain. And then a Yid says to himself, as long as I don't go to Gehenna, give away your Olam Haba. He doesn't understand. There's no comparison. And Rabbi Leib Chassman once said it, he says, and you don't understand, every extra word of Torah gives you another smell of Olam Haba. So again, so the calculations start all over again. You don't understand, he says. Every word of Torah, you say, every extra word, every maisim toivim, every good deed that you do. And he said, like an example. So I want to give you an example. I want to show you a world of a difference, he says, between two Olam Habos. You think there has to be a drastic difference between two people? And they're going to be so far apart. He says, the Rabbi Leib Chassman, the Mashgiach, he said like this. He said, I want you to know, I want you to understand. Imagine two people that were born the same birthday. You know what? Better still. They're born the same hour. Same birthday, the same hour. And they grew up together. And they basically received the same education. Everything they did the same way. They grew up together. They had the same experiences. They learned Torah. They did mitzvahs. They did masim tovim. And guess what? And they also died the exact same moment. So the lifespan of both people were exactly the same. They were born exactly the same time. They died exactly the same time. They went to the same yeshivas. They did the same mitzvahs, more or less. The difference is, one person learned one ois more than the other. Total difference in Olam Haba from Mizrach to Ma'arif, he says. One ois more. You think that the chilik between me and you and him and him and him and him is because he learned 25 blot more than me. Or he did 1,000 mitzvahs more than me. He did a crumb of a mitzvah more than me. You have no idea what that means. There's Olam Haba. You're talking about Olam Haba. These are checks that are signed with endless, endless zeros. We have no idea what that means. We have no idea. This is what we're being taught. And this is what we have to strive for. We have this a little bit of asoge. And certainly, hopefully, we'll be able to live our lives a little bit differently. And bizoiche, tashrecho boilam azeh, v'toiv lecho boilam haboch.